Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of April 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Have you dialed in with your support yet? I hope so. If not, 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support for the ag programming that comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, or just hit that big red donate button right there on the willag.org website. Today during the show, we'll talk, of course, with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And Matt Bennett will be here, too, to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up today at the CME Group. Corn futures in the May contract at $3.76 and a quarter. Settlement price a quarter of a cent higher. July at $3.83 and a quarter, up a quarter. And September futures were unchanged. They settled at $3.90 and three quarters of a cent. December corn today at $4.25, down a quarter. In the March, $4.10 and a half, a half lower. May beans at $9.66, a penny higher. July at $9.69, up one and a quarter. August soybeans, $9.67, up a penny. In September at $9.57 and three quarters, 3/4 of a cent higher. The November beans, $9.52 and three quarters. The new crop settled a quarter of a cent higher. Bean meal at $3.12.40, up 90 cents. The bean oil at $31.76. That's down 4 cents for the day. The soft red winter wheat finished the July at $4.90 and three quarters, up a penny and 3/4. And the hard red July at $5.14, down 4 cents on the afternoon. From the CME Group live cattle futures pit, the nearby contract, or the April at $160.80, 7.5 cents higher. June at $152, up 32.5. April feeders, 57.5 higher, at $215.80. And the May contract at $213, up 57.5 cents for the day. Lean hog settled the May contract at $71.25, $1.57.5 cents higher in the June futures there. For 100 pounds at $76.37.5, that's 90 cents higher on the day. Have you tiled in yet with your pledge of financial support? I hope so. If not, right now's a great time to do it. 217-244-9455. If you're listening online, willag.org, and then hit that big red button that says donate. Really important thing to do. We have $2,250 on the line, and we need your help. 100 of you need to dial in by the end of the day tomorrow.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Checking the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures at $56.61 a barrel, up 23 cents. The Arbaugh wholesale price of gasoline, opinion, a tenth of a cent higher at $1.93 and 7 tenths of a cent. And ethanol futures at $1.59 and 3 tenths. That's up 2 tenths of a cent. Diesel fuel, $1.90 and 7 tenths of a cent, a penny and 8 cents higher. And the gold futures at $1,197.80, settled below the $1,200 mark, down 28 cents for the day. The U.S. dollar at 97.41, that's down 0.906. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service. Yet this afternoon will remain cloudy with a high of just 71 degrees, and we've dropped off from that since earlier in the day, 64 degrees outside the studios here in Urbana-Champaign. Tonight, cloudy. We'll drop all the way down to 52 degrees with light variable winds, and then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 75. Winds will remain calm. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 54. And Saturday, sunny and a high of 75 degrees. Northeast winds then at 5 to 11 miles an hour. Saturday night, showers are likely. Those will come before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 54. Sunday showers, possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy and a high of 69. Monday during the day, a chance of showers, partly sunny and 60. And Tuesday, sunny and 57. On Wednesday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, and the high near 60 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes from Mike Tenora at the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 16th day of April, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason from the University of Illinois Extension. On the phone line is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. They're located in Mandeville, Louisiana. But Dan has made the trek to the west and has settled into Waco, Texas for the day. Thanks for coming to us from the ranch. We really do appreciate it.
I'm welcome to be on.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about this marketplace, because there were times over the winter that you really were feeling your oats, so to speak. Not quite a giddy up, but ready to go. And I'm wondering where we stand today.
Well, the stuff that I look at is cyclically driven. And if that is all going to catch here this year, that is going to play out in the form of weather adversities, production declines, that kind of stuff. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a disaster, but we're going to have to start shaving off the yields from trend line projections and begin to tighten up the balance sheet. And the timing on that is just not right yet. I mean, we're in the process of planting the crop. Yes, we've had some delays in the Delta that maybe has lost a few thousand acres or half a million acres of corn. We're going to have some planting delays, you know, in the Ohio River Valley, but still we're only April 16th. So it's not panic time on anything yet. As a rule, when I look at years past, the market really doesn't worry about crop prospects until around the middle part of May or May 20th. I think that is kind of the magic date when the trade kind of looks around, assesses how the planting season has gone, where the problem areas are, what kind of problems we have, and whatnot. And then if it feels that production prospects are not as good as what they were thinking going into planting, then the market then responds to the upside as we go on into the June-July timeframe, which is the critical part of corn pollination. And then we'll see what, you know, August brings when it comes to soybeans. But so that's where I think we're at. Couple things I'm looking at in the outside market activity. Crude oil futures are breaking out of a sideways pattern, about a 16-week sideways pattern here. A lot of the black boxes went long 2-3 weeks ago. They're going to get another good buy in here if that strength continues. We're going to get some nice moving average crossovers. So looks to me like crude oil prices are headed higher. I look at the dollar index. It has been kind of in a free fall here over this past week. And unless the market rallies sharply tomorrow, we're going to close out the week with a reversal to the downside. After it failed to make a higher high earlier in the week. So I do think maybe the dollar index is getting ripe for a corrective decline. I don't know if I want to call it a long-term trend change yet, but I do think that when you look at monthly charts, it's highly overbought. All the technical indicators are starting to roll down. I see the weekly charts starting to roll down. So I think we might, if the dollar weakens, we might be in for a round of a commodity short covering across the complex to maybe lift this market higher, and the ags could go with it at that time.
So that's one thing that we'll have to keep an eye on, of course, as the dollar goes down. The export market might respond a little bit, and it would be a nice timing because we're switching from beans in the United States to beans out of South America. That leaves your ports open in New Orleans and other places to ship corn, right?
Well, the thing that the old crop export market is pretty well
a done deal. Come on.
On soybeans. Now, we did have a little better than expected sales here today, and we still need to sell a few more million bushels of beans to meet USA's projection. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we maybe sell a little bit more and maybe, you know, raise exports a little bit, but it's not going to change the supply-demand table very much. I think USA is still carrying too high a carryout. But, you know, at this point, I'm not going to argue about 25 million or 30 million. There's still plenty. And that's the same way with corn. It may be a hustle to get 18. For a while, I thought we could maybe go to 18.25. But the stocks on hand that USDA reported on the stocks report just basically pulled the rug out from any kind of bullish enthusiasm in the corn market, at least for now. Maybe the June numbers will show a different picture, but the way the trade perceives the old crop supply and we're planting the crop, yeah, we may not plant all of the acres, but there's no big shortage of corn, at least at this point. Nobody can really visualize that. But now this is the time of year that you start booking your new crop books. And if a dollar does begin to decline here, I think that would at least help out the bookings of new crop export sales clear across the board. I mean, for the most part, wheat is done. It's all going to go, you know, any wheat we sell at this point is going to go into the new crop. So that's something that I think is needed. We need some new crop bookings on, and that could maybe get this market to fluff up a little bit, because that would show that there's interest in new crop corn and soybeans, even though South America is coming off of some pretty good sized crops in here. They could, you know, sell into this market all the way into our fall. That's what everybody's scared of. Where that's the big bear, is that they got supplies to feed the world market all the way into our harvest.
Yeah, we'll find out as we go through the next several months. You know, I needed you to be a little more on the bullish side today, because we're hopeful that we can get some folks to call in support of us. Gosh dang,
well, Dan. Like I said, I like crude oil. Of course, I'm a Texan now, so yeah. I gotta like black gold down here. But I know black gold is also helpful to the corn prices. That will help improve ethanol margins, because we have had a slowdown in ethanol grind that is kind of coming at the wrong time. We need to kind of stay on pace on that. So, but it's the planting season, and everybody's looking at USDA's supply-demand tables coming out real bearish. Yeah. So I think most speculative types are those that say, well, I ain't going to touch this thing from the long side until USDA gives it one more time to hammer prices down. And then after that's out of the way, then maybe we can start trading overall crop conditions, and people may not be quite as optimistic, in the end of May as what they were in March as far as what the crop prospects could be.
All right, Dan. Hey, thanks so much. I think I'll start calling you Jed Clampett, but I am not calling Teresa Granny.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Okay.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Came from us from Waco, Texas today. We have more than 21 folks that are on the air with us on a regular basis each and every week. We actually have 21, and then we include a couple of extras during Commodity Week. So a bit more normally on any given week. And if that's important to you, we really would like to have you give us a call here at 217-244-9455, in large part because a whole bunch of those folks, our business partners, have gotten together and said, you know what, if you can get 100 phone calls during that five-day period, we will give you $2,250. Doesn't sound like a lot of money. Frankly, it is for us a lot of money, but you have to call. And unfortunately, the last number I heard was that only 25 of you had made a call. That means I need, how about 25 of you today, and then 25 tomorrow morning, and another 25 tomorrow afternoon, and we'll get to 100. But you know what? You got to call, and you got to do it now, 217-244-9455. It's kind of important. Frankly, the amount doesn't matter. $10, $15, $100, $120, $600, $1,000. Pick your number and just give us a call at 217-244-9455. Right, Les Schulte?
That's exactly right, Todd. And we're just asking people to put a value on this service. So if you use this service, if you use this kind of information that you get from folks like Dan Zwicker and Sue Martin and Mike Zuzolo and Ellen Dearden, and the list just kind of goes on and on, expert advice. And basically, you know what? Could be free, but why don't you invest in it? As Todd said, maybe $10, $20 a month. Maybe a one-time investment of $500 right now that you can put on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. We want to thank folks at the Bates Commodities, AgriGold, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County Branch, the Andersons, and Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting for putting that pledge amount together, that challenge amount of $2,250. But come on, we have to hear from you before we can add that to our pledge total. 217-244-9455.
Let's check in on the agricultural news now for the afternoon. U.S. Department of Agriculture Chief Veterinarian Dr. John Clifford is in Minnesota this week working with state and federal officials there, responding to cases of avian flu. Minnesota Turkey Growers Association Executive Director Steve Olson says there are over 20 cases of the H5N2 strain in the state so far.
We've been having some meetings with him and in some of the industry representatives. He's gotten a chance to see some of the landscape of Minnesota's poultry industry, and going to have a chance to talk directly with some growers too. And the whole goal, all of this is about communication and giving him a better understanding of what's happening in Minnesota, but also learning from him some of the things that the USDA is doing behind the scenes to help support this effort to eradicate high-path avian influenza from Minnesota.
Olson says death loss from the disease and depopulation is over 1 million birds.
These are all separate pinpoint introductions. So this is a virus that doesn't move from farm to farm. And even on the same farm, it's not moving from one barn to the other barn. So that's a good thing. And then USDA and the Board of Animal Health come in and they lock that farm down and then they control the movement within a 6-mile radius of that area. You know, we've got more than any other state. And it's due in part because we have a land of 10,000 lakes, and we've also, which means we've got a lot of waterfowl that moves into this area. We've got a lot of turkeys, and so there's a lot of opportunity for the virus introduction. And so the growers are focused on keeping what's out of the barn, and keeping what's in.
Olson says officials still suspect wild birds as the cause of the virus. He says USDA has a team of epidemiologists in the state studying how the virus is getting into the barns.
It's getting brought in either on equipment or on boots into the barn through farm workers. And so the focus has been on implementing some practices that help make that even less likely by changing boots before they go into a barn. So they've got a set of boots that are dirty that are just used for outside. They step into a clean set of boots that are just used inside that barn. Equipment is that doesn't need to go into a barn. It's not going into a barn. If there is something, tires are disinfected. Feed trucks that come onto farms, the tires and wheel wells are disinfected at the end of the driveway. And then again, as they come onto the farm, and then again, as they leave the farm. Those are all practices that we think are going to help prevent anything from getting dragged in.
That was the Minnesota Turkey Association's Steve Olson. Let's move on to some big news that came out of Washington, D.C. today, where the U.S. House of Representatives voted to repeal the estate tax. There's a disconnect for lawmakers regarding what makes the business of farming work. That, according to Tennessee farmer Brandon Witt, he was thinking today about the estate tax, which he calls the death tax.
They keep trying to put our land and our farms in this upper echelon of value, and we're quite honestly at the bottom of the middle class trying to hold on and survive and work here.
Witt says the estate tax is misguided. He thinks assets for most farmers are tied up in the land, equipment, and other investments to run their businesses.
From year to year, we pay taxes, and simply because a family member dies and we pass that farm on to the next generation, we now have to pay another tax. we would literally have to sell equipment or land or something at the detriment of the business in order to pay the tax. We just don't see that being a very fair opportunity to keep our business going into the future.
On his farmland, Witt says they have made capital improvements that have increased the value of the land, pushing them over the caps for the estate tax. He says it's just not a level playing field for all farms and small businesses.
If we're going to let one farm off the hook from paying a death tax, then we should let all farms off the hook. It's not fair to say if you fit inside this strangely shaped box that you are exempt from the death tax, and if you happen to not fit inside this box, then you have to pay.
Witt says it is an unfair representation of all farms and small businesses. He says the estate tax should be repealed to ensure a level playing field. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
You could be the talk of the elevator with your own personal cell phone answering message from Dave Dickey.
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Leave your message after the beep for George.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to five winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, on the phone line to take up the marketplace now is Matt Bennett. He's from Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. I know earlier in the week I spoke to you and you thought maybe Thursday you might be able to get in the field. I'm guessing not.
We weren't able to. The weather really hasn't cooperated for us. We had enough rain there on Monday that some of the overcast conditions like today haven't really been conducive. If we could get some heat and some sun, I would assume we could get out there and go. But now that we've got this impending forecast on, maybe Sunday, they're talking an inch or more. I don't know whether we'll get to do anything or not.
So here we are on the 16th. I know it doesn't take you very long to put corn crop in the ground. What date would be worrisome to you if you hadn't really gotten a good start?
Well, that's a great question. I would say, in 2013, we tested that pretty heavily. We didn't plant anything until May the 15th, and we planted all of our corn in the next 5-6 days. And we had an average that was the best all-farm average we'd ever had on corn. So, we could go a while, I think. And I'm not terribly nervous just yet, and as you say, we can all get it in the ground fairly quick, but I would say the longer that you stay a little wet, get a wet forecast on top of it, the more worried people are going to get.
Because farmers aren't in the field, they could move grain. Do you think they ought to move any corn?
Well, it's a good question. The bottom line is that the basis continues to just maybe creep a little bit better because everyone's been tight-fisted. But I think whenever you do get some sort of a rally, whether it's pulled up by new crop concerns or whatever it might be, you're going to have some basis weakness because there's a wall of supply that needs to come to town at some point. There's just so much corn in the farmers' hands right now that basis is liable to fall apart at that point. But who knows? Maybe we'll gain enough that even with the basis weakening, it'll pay guys to have sat around for a little bit longer.
Okay, very quickly, and I mean really quickly, new crop corn and soybeans, are you interested at all in any new sales?
Definitely not on corn. Beans, if a guy hadn't done anything yet, he might consider it.
So how much? 15% cover the...
Up to a third of the crop.
Up to a third of the crop. All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that is Matt Bennett. He is with Channel Seeds, Bennett Consulting, out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I hope you have joined us already, too. We'll tell you more about that in just a bit. At 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support or online at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Les Schulte is in studio with us to talk a little bit more about some good reasons producers should call in today with their pledge of financial support. Frankly, if you use the service, I think that's a good reason. If you listen on a regular basis, Les, I think it's really important because a pretty good sized chunk of our budget comes from our listeners.
A little over 40% now comes directly from listeners' support. And that's the money we use to invest in services that we give right back to you. And we run a business, too. I mean, our business really isn't much different than anybody else's business. But we only spend the money that we have in the bank on June the 30th. So we look at that and we say, okay, that's it. You know, maybe we can expand our services just like you might with your business, or we have to contract a little bit because just like you have to do with your business. And so that's why your involvement right now, really it's your involvement we're looking for. Now, that might be $50, that might be $100, that might be $250. Again, we just ask you to put a value on this service and then call this number, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. We're really looking for 20 pledges this afternoon. Today.
Right? Yep.
Oh, sure, we can do that. We just need you to take a couple of minutes and call 217-244-9455. Why? Because we have this challenge on the line, $2,250 put together by our friends at Bates Commodities and AgriGold, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County branch, the Andersons in Champaign, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. The number to call is 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. When we hit 100, we can add that money to our pledge total. 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org. You can pledge there too.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Dial that phone, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support. Big red button on our homepage at willag.org that says donate either way. It's important to do, and it's important to do right now. Mike Tenor is one of the many voices you hear during the week. He is from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, and is on the line now to talk about the weather forecast. Let's start with 5 to 7 days. Producers would like to plant corn, although it's on and off rain and I think turning cool over that period too. What do you see?
Yeah, it doesn't look the best going forward for the next 10 days or so. The problem is that we have a fairly large storm system off to the west and it's disconnected from the jet stream. Whenever a storm system is disconnected from the jet stream, it moves very slowly, and that will be the case. Right now it's located pretty close to Colorado, and by the time we get to Monday, it will only be located in Michigan. Compare that to a winter storm-type scenario. Usually a storm will move that quickly in 24 to 36 hours, but it's going to take it a full 5 days to move to the east. Because of that, we'll have multiple areas of rain and thunderstorms within the entire central U.S. It's in a pretty amazing area of rain that will occur over the next week. So we're just looking for widespread rainfall of around 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches, with a few areas receding over 2 inches through Monday.
So this would run from where? Delta all the way to the northern Corn Belt, or is there more specifics than that?
Yeah, no, it's unusual for us to have this widespread of a rain event, so I could see where, it might not be the clearest just talking about it. So much like this, but it really is a large storm system with a lot of different areas of rain that'll form.
Now, let's turn our attention to something that was released by the U.S. government last week. They do a report on El Nino and its relative strength. Did you take a look at it?
We sure did, and what we figured out is that the current El Nino forecast for it to continue into the autumn would be very unusual because that has only happened twice since 1960. Those 2 years were 1969 and 1987. U.S. corn and soybean yields in 1969 and 1987 were both above the trend. So that tells us that weather in those years was not problematic overall for the entire growing season. Now, keep in mind, we only have two examples there out of a 55-year time period. So because of that, we can't just say that this growing season is going to be fantastic for corn and soybean farmers, but at least the small piece of history that we have suggests that nothing major is imminent. So we would caution that there is a fairly large area of dryness that's developed over the last 6 months. Even though we have this rain that's been going on over the last week and some more rain coming up over the next week, it's unclear if we're going to stay in this dry pattern or just stay wet right on into May.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Mike. We do appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome. Have a great day, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. We are brought to you by Illinois Public Media, the University of Illinois, and, well, you. And if you haven't pledged your financial support for our radio station and the agricultural programming that comes to you from this campus, now might be a good time. 40% of what we gather in total comes from you, our listeners. So it's important that you dial in at 217-244-9455 or go online at willpledge.org or willag.org and then hit that big red button that says donate. And hey, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.